It's amazing how often that when you are preparing a word to bring, sometimes it's very comforting to when somebody says something or does something that brings a confirmation to what you want to say. And yesterday at the men's breakfast at Los Galeos, Pastor Trevor said something that really sparked off, gave me a confirmation that the word I've got for today was the word for today. And the same thing came in the back room this morning, and Belinda Choice. Have you noticed Belinda? It was the first time she's ever led worship. Did she do well?
Yeah.
You know, and this is really what I'm talking about this morning. You know, it wasn't arranged this way, it just happened this way. But, you know, sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zones and puts us in situations we're not comfortable about doing. It's amazing how he can bring a blessing to many people. And I really believe it's the first time of many times that she'll lead in worship here. Amen. God bless you. And thank you, Belinda, for just being bold enough to stand and to do that this morning. One of the songs that Belinda chose, not knowing that what I was speaking on, just really this talked about this passion, this consuming fire. Lord, have your way in us. Clothe us with power from on high. Now set the captives free. Lord, let your glory fall. Lyrics like that, really, you know, and a lot of the other songs as well that she chose to do this morning. You know, I said to her, you realise they're all slow songs. There's no recipe. They could be all fast or slow or a mixture of the two. God will use whatever is on our hearts to do. And I think they were the right songs for today. If you've got your Bibles with me, or if we'll perhaps put it back on the screen again, Acts 3, and just really something here has been sort of speaking to my heart for many weeks now, and I've been sort of waiting for opportunity to bring, although I think he's changed the word in my heart slightly over the weeks, but I really wanted to just share with you my heart's desire to see us move on as individuals and as a church too. In our knowledge of God, and you're saying, he goes again, but you know, it's all in this word. It's all in the word. And the more we know his word, the more we spend time with him, the more we're able to appreciate when the Holy Spirit is moving opportunities to reach out and touch other people's lives. Now sometimes when we're not, in the Bible says in one place, you know, those that are not of the Spirit don't understand spiritual things. That's the reason why when we become Christians that we need to grow in God, because we need to understand spiritual things. And when the Holy Spirit whispers something in our hearts, you know, we say yes. This is the moment. This is the opportunity. And I see this opportunity that Peter and John had at the temple, at the gate beautiful, as an opportunity to touch this guy's life. We don't know how old he was, perhaps 38, 40 years of age. From his mother's womb, from birth, this man was lame. And he begged there at the gate. Begged at the gate, day after day after day. You know, when you think about it, possibly Jesus would have walked past him many times to the temple when Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem. But you see, it wasn't Jesus' time then to do this thing. It was Peter and John's time to do this thing and to recognize the opportunity that God had given to them to move out in something that they were perhaps, you know, that Jesus had taught them, but it's a lot different from being taught and doing. And I know you'll understand that. You know, we've all been there. You know, and when I sort of managed the builders' merchant in the UK before we came to Spain, you could tell the salespeople on the desk when builders would come in. You could tell, you know, by the lack of sales in certain areas where the weaknesses of the sales staff were. Because if you're confident in something, then you're gonna sell and promote that thing. If you know how it works, if you know how it fits together, you've got to tell people. When you don't know, you don't say, "Oh well, I don't know much about this. I'll keep out of it." Like, you know, but you know, when we know, when we know in here what God has touched our hearts, God has turned a light on in our spirit, you know, and the more we grow in Him, opportunities will come our way. And my word today is an encouragement to take you further, and take this church further, and take God's work here in Spain further. You know, and really, I just really pray that you'll just get an understanding of this today. It'll just touch your heart. It certainly touched my heart as I've read through. And one of the things that really sort of stands out here is the fact is that Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. They didn't go at the hour of sacrifice. They went at the hour of prayer. And then when you read certain commentaries, they would say that they probably went there to evangelize. This would be the place where all the religious people would be. You know, so they would go there possibly to pray, but also to say, you know, what did you think about Jesus? What did you think about it? What did you think about the things that He did? What do you think about the miracles that He did? You know, and they were there with a purpose, but it was just interesting that they went for the hour of prayer. Not because sacrifices had been done. Jesus was the final sacrifice. But they would still go. Part of their tradition was to go. The ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And they went there to pray, and who knows? I don't want to sort of, you know, fill in words where there are no words this morning. But it's just interesting. And I read another little bit about the description of the beautiful gate. You know, it was 75 feet high, covered in brass. Can you imagine the weight of it? 75 feet. I mean, we're what, 8 feet? Over 8 times the height from here to the ceiling this door was. Can you imagine? You know, and it was called beautiful. In spite of many of the doors were embossed in silver and gold, this door was the door that was called beautiful. And can you imagine this man there, day after day after day after day, sitting in the gate, waiting for somebody to come, waiting to receive finances, waiting to receive money. And there he was, and Peter and John came his way. And when they came to the gate, there was this guy there, sat on the ground there. You know, and the lame man, really all he wanted was money. He wanted support. You see, he wanted them to give him something that would sustain him for that day. You see, but God had another idea. God wanted to give him something that would change his life. God wanted to give this man something that would change his life forever and ever. And would also change the lives of many people, because through this guy's healing and witness, many, many, many came to Jesus. And Peter and John were thrown into prison for it as well, for their boldness. You know, as a church, we're a giving church. There's many people in this church, and there are Amanda and the things that she does. Sparked off, and God has sparked off in Amanda and other people. Giving of themselves and helping and moving into areas and touching people's lives with substance. And that's wonderful. And don't hear me right today, I'm not speaking against anything like that. There's other people, and we were there at Campus of Fiesta trying to raise money for food parcels, for missions, other things. You know, and you've given as a church fantastically over the years that we've been, a few years we've been running now. It's amazing how you've given. So hear me right this morning. But I'm saying there's something more. There's something more. Yes, we need to carry on touching people's lives. We need to carry on giving to the poor. We need to carry on reaching out. But there's something, there's another level I believe God wants to take us to. Another level God wants to break into our hearts. Another level God wants to challenge us with this morning. There's more, as Jimmy Cricket or whoever it is says. You know. Come here, there's more. And there's more of God for every one of us here this morning. And every one member of this church that isn't here today. And so this man would have been happy with a few coins, with a few pence out of their pocket, with a sandwich or something to keep him going. But you see, God that day had an appointment for him and with Peter and John. You see, that man's life would be different from now on, because it was his time, it was God's time. You know, Peter and John could have walked on that day. They could have walked straight past him. They said, well, I gave it to him. I gave him money last time I come. You know, but this day, I can imagine them there, you know, like if I pull my pockets open, everything will fall out, and I haven't got much in my pockets anyway. But I suppose that's how Peter and John were that day. They came to pray. They hadn't come to give, but they come to give of another substance that was life. And I believe God is calling us to rise up as a church and to give not only of physical things, but of spiritual things too. He wants to take us to another level. And those of you that are already giving in the physical, he wants to birth you into more supernatural things for him. I really believe this. And so when Peter and John gave him no money, you know, he could have complained, come on guys, you know, you're okay, you've got legs, you can walk, but I can't, like, you know, I've got to eat, I've got to whatever. You know, and you can imagine him wanting, and he would have been just so thankful for something that would get him through the day. A glass of water, drink of water, with a glass of water, a tankard, a stone cup, whatever it would have been served in, just something to keep him going. He would be happy with that. And so far, church, we can be like that. We can be happy, just a little bit to keep us going, when God has so much for us. So much to experience, so much to enjoy of his presence, and we're happy with a little bit, with a scrap, with a little bit that we have. And God says, there's more for you. There's more for you. There's more. That's why I want you to get to know me better. That's why I want you to understand when my spirit is speaking, to have that knowledge of a move of the spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he doesn't give us a junior version of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the whole thing, lock, stock and barrel. Everything is there. It's not a baby Holy Spirit. It's the full works. But we have to learn to appropriate that, to walk in it, to understand it, to reach out in it, to touch people with that gift that he has. See, there's no little spirit and big spirit. It's one spirit, the only Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, as the Word calls it. And that Spirit is what God wants you to be operating in. In however little way that you feel you're doing, I'm seeing things start to happen. I'm seeing people within this fellowship starting to do things they've not done before. And it fills my heart, because God has called me here to encourage you to do. To encourage you to do. To encourage you to go. And that's all I'll keep on doing. I'll encourage you and encourage you and encourage you. Because as I said before, people in my life and Wendy's life have encouraged us all over the years. They said, yes, you can. You can do this thing. And I'm saying to you, church, you can do this thing. You can move forward. You can move higher in God. You can have a better understanding of the Word. You can have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. It is there. God gave it to us, lock, stock and barrel. When Jesus died on the cross, he died and he gave everything that is required for you and for me to move on in our lives and to touch people with the love of Jesus. And not only touch them physically, but to touch them supernaturally and spiritually too. And this is where I'm coming from this morning. I'm encouraging the church. We've got to move forward. We cannot be complacent. We cannot let time slip away. God is calling us into a higher calling than that we even realize. And what stops us? I think a lot of the time it's fear. Fear stops us. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Fear of this. Fear of that. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And our worship today was a time of loving on Jesus. You know, and I'm sure everybody here this morning sensed that love in some way. You know, that perfect love of Jesus casts out all fear. But you'll never know it unless you start walking in it. Unless you start putting your foot in the water. I'll start in a minute. You're a bit slow this morning. A little bit slow. And Pastor Trevor, bless him, yesterday, I think Duncan will know what I'm going to say in a minute, but I couldn't help laughing at one stage. He said something, and I just knew it was what God wanted me to share in my heart this morning. And there's some special things I noticed in this little reading this morning about what happened there. So there was the guy. Can you imagine? Can you picture it in your mind's eye? Can you picture him lying on the ground? Peter and John there. You know, with a lining their pockets out. No dosh. And there he says, please, please. You know what they're like. You know, please, please give me something. Help me through the day. And Pastor Trevor said yesterday, his opening few words of his testimony at the men's breakfast, he said, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And what does this word here say? It says here in verse 4, and fixing, this is Peter, and fixing his eyes on him with John. I think this is a key, this is. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. There is two things that we sometimes don't do there straight away. You know, when we meet somebody with a need, somebody that needs to be touched, we need to stop. And we need to fix our eyes on the situation. Fix our eyes on the problem. So often we're so busy we're just running around. And sometimes God says, fix your eyes on this situation, on this family, on this problem here. It won't always work, but don't let it put you off. Stop. They had to stop. They knew they hadn't got any money. Or maybe they had, but maybe they got just lunch money. I don't believe that. I believe that they haven't got anything to give, otherwise they mostly would have given it. But here they were. They stopped. They fixed their eyes on the man. And then they did something else that we don't do because of fear. They drew attention to themselves. They said, look at us. It's like Jesus when he came to that man that day and he said, do you want to be healed? What do you want? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? It's a bold statement. You know, and we don't like bold statements, do we? Because the onus then becomes on us. But I want to tell you this morning, church, it doesn't. It becomes on Jesus. The onus is then on the Father. Says, look at us. So I believe, looking through spiritual eyes this morning, they fix their eyes on the man, and by fixing their eyes on the man, they fix their eyes on the provider. And secondly, they said, look at us. We're people that Jesus has taught and given us the power to go and to reach out and touch you in his name, and healing will come. So there again, there's two things. And straight away, it's an area I know where many people struggle in the church. Identifying it, stopping and looking, identifying the situation, and then saying, look at me, I'm the one that's going to give into this situation. I've got no money, but somehow, Lord, this is a Holy Spirit moment, and I'm going to give you something today. You want me to give you something that's going to last you for today. I want to give you something from Jesus that will last you for the rest of your life. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to receive this thing? So there's two points there. Look, stop and look. See what the situation is. And then say, look at me. But not in a bragging way, because it all comes from him. But when we know that the Spirit of God is working in our hearts, that we know God intimately, that we know that there's no baby Holy Spirit. God will use anybody. Somebody who gives his heart to Jesus now, God will use in 2 minutes' time if he or she is ready to receive. If he or she is ready to step out and take a step of faith. So he gave them his attention. I bet he did. Wow, what's he going to give me? A house? A car? A boat? A yacht? A new guitar? Piano? It's not about the piano. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's all about that revelation. And then Peter said, and this is the thing that prompted my word today, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Let's think about that. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. What did they have? Yep. You see, if you strip away all the stuff we have, strip away MAD, strip away Victory Missions, strip away everything else that we've got, strip away all the stuff, what have we got left? What's there? What's there? You see, it's not the thing, it's the legacy, it is in what God is doing through. Take all this stuff away, take all the fancy stuff away, and what's left? You know, many of you, as I said, are great giving people. Fantastic. God needs giving people. But he also needs people that give more than finances. He needs people who will give spiritually into people's lives. Because yes, it's wonderful to bless. And that's mighty. And it's a great gift. And God has placed people in churches and has blessed people abundantly so they can finance people. So they can finance churches. Yeah, and I'm not decrying that. I thank God for every giving person. But there's more than just giving. There's a giving of the supernatural Spirit of God that he puts within every single one of us who receive him into our lives. And he says, this is what I want you to give as well. Yes, give of your finances. Give of what you have. Give of the food. Give of this. But I want you to give more of me. More of me. And every opportunity I give you, when you see it, when it opens itself up to you, don't be shy. Put your foot in the water. Step into the sea. You know, as we've said so many times from this pulpit before, when the Red Sea opened up for the children of Israel to pass through, you know, it took a step of faith. You know, when the Jordan opened up to let them through, it took a step of faith. It took the priest to put his sandal in the water. You know, you can stand on the bank for years, but until you put your sandal in the water, you'll never know. You'll never know. I encourage you this morning to put your sandals in the water. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. You see, he knew what he had. He knew he had a relationship with Jesus. He knew what Jesus did. He was there. He saw it. He messed up. He did all the stuff we've talked about year in and year out. But he knew Jesus. He'd seen the miracles. He'd gone too far to turn back. He'd gone too far to fail. You know, when you've seen a truly notable miracle, your life will never ever be the same again. When you see somebody, my throat, you know, that's nothing. That's just a tiny little thing for me. And I can look at it all sorts of ways. I can say, yes, it was just a virus, just something that happened. Perhaps I had the aircon on the car, fastened on my face too much or whatever in the heat. All sorts of things. I could say it was a spiritual attack. The devil didn't want me to speak this today. Didn't want me to say this. We can have all sorts of things. But you see, brothers and sisters, we need to get to know Jesus. We need to understand the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be available for him. We need to step out into the water. And then he said the key line, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, there's boldness for you. But he coupled that with an action as well. He reached down and he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. And as he took him by the hand and lifted him up, it says his ankle bones grew strong. I'm not going to have time today to go into all of this, but you read it yourself. Go home and read it. Go home and read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. It tells you about who you are, what God has done for you, how he's blessed you, how he's given you authority. See, we don't realise the authority we have as sons and daughters of the living God. We walk in as paupers when God has given us so much authority. Over the devil, over the enemy, over situations, over sickness, over all these things. I know there are prayer warriors in here this morning. You know, take it to another level. Realize who you are in him. It takes sometimes just a step of faith, more than ever you've gone before, to reach out and to see this dynamic happen within your life, in somebody else's life, in the life of the church, your neighbours, the people you meet on the street. You know, when was the last time you grabbed hold of somebody on the street and said, I want to pray for you? And when I say that, I'm challenging myself too. When was the last time we did these things? You see, he fixed his eyes on him with John. He said, look at us. The guy gave them his attention, expecting to receive a nice big silver coin or a gold coin with the emperor on it or something. And Peter told him he hadn't got any money, but he's got something that was better than money for this man on this occasion, on this day, at this time, this appointed time. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the key, folks, this morning. It's not in our name. It's not in our power. It's not in anything that we have. It is in his name. You see, when we reach out in faith, see, it's a step of faith to pray for somebody. Because you've got to, all in that instant, few nanoseconds in your brain, you're saying, whoa, what have I done? I stepped over the line here. Lord, give me strength. Help me. In that second, that split second, that's you're drawing on something. And what we need to realise is we're not drawing off our own power, our own strength. It's nothing of us. Nothing of what Peter had in him went into this man to give him strength in his legs. It was the power of the risen Christ operating through the Holy Spirit that did it. You see, when we step out in faith, we're saying, Lord, I can't do this. You do it. And suddenly, that power. See, when we step out of the way, his power floods in. When we realise that it's all of him. And unfortunately, there are many people in the world today. Many speakers you see on TV and everything. I'm not being critical today. But, you know, there just doesn't seem to be a humility about some of them. You know, and I just really feel that in the church in general, you know, we don't do these things because we're frightened of failure. We're frightened of looking foolish or looking stupid. But I want to encourage you today. You know, when you get to know the Father, when the Father opens up his Holy Spirit to you, you'll know more and more and more. The more you step out in faith and touch people's lives with the love of Jesus, the more you will know when these opportunities come. As I said, this guy had been walked by for years. 20, 30, 40 years perhaps. People had walked by him and just threw him a few coins. But this day was going to be different. I challenge you, church, today. Will today be different in your life when you reach out and touch somebody with the love of Jesus? When you say, I can't do this, Lord, but I want to meet a need here. I want to touch this person here. Father, I've got nothing, but Lord, with you, I can do it. And it may not be, you know, a healing situation. It might be another situation where you can help somebody or do something in somebody's life. Or somebody says, like, you know, will you speak a word? Will you do communion? Will you do this? And say, yes. Yeah, I can. I'll have a go. I'll try. Will you lead the worship? Yes, I'll have a go. You know, will you lead Bible readings? Yes, I'll have a go. Things are happening. You see, God is reaching and touching people and saying, I will help you if you'll have a go. Will you be willing to put your feet in the water? Will you be willing to step out? Will you be willing to say yes? Will you be willing to give more than money and finances? Will you be willing to give something more? Something that I've put within your life. Something that I've birthed in your life. You see, he doesn't give it us for us to keep. He gives it to us so we can give it away. You see, when we do that, you see, I was taught at Sunday school a few years ago now, my cup's full and running over, you know, and it's still running over today at the age of 59 tomorrow. My cup is still full. I don't feel full sometimes. I feel I'm running on half empty or half full, however you want to put it. Sometimes I feel like there's nothing left. But I know, in the spiritual realm, my cup is full and running over. All I've got to do is turn away from woe is me and look, whoa, it's Jesus, wow, what is he in my life? So often we're looking inwards at what we can do. And he said, don't look at what you can do, look at what I can do through you, if you're willing to step out and do that. The lame man was expecting to receive something from them, and boy, did he get something from them that day. You see, and the wonderful thing about it, there was no big dynamic prayer. Some people think praying for the sick, you'd have some big dynamic prayer. Nope. No big dynamic prayer. You know, just trusting Jesus to supply. That's the key. Lord, help me. Like the guy who came for, was it his son's healing? He said, Lord, help me in my unbelief. You know, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. You know, when Peter and John were jailed for this, for reaching out and helping this man, and the Sanhedrin threw him into prison, the day they come out, they joined the prayer meeting that was happening in church. And what did they ask for? Oh, solace, give me a drink. You know, we've been stuck in that prison for whatever. No. So, pray for more boldness for us. There it is, you see. No big dynamic prayer. Just trusting in Jesus, trusting in his supply, and operating in our own God-given authority. God has given us authority. And if you're making notes today, if you want to look in Luke 9, 1-6, and Mark 16, verse 17, James 5, 13-18, they're all talking about what God has given to us, you know, and how God has supplied us, how God has given us the authority to speak into situations like this. So I just encourage you to read up, look at some scriptures. You see, silver and gold I didn't have. Peter didn't have the money, but he did have the authority from Jesus to heal the sick. You know, if you read that in Mark, I'm going to read that one for you. Are okay for a few minutes? We're quite on time today. Which is, I've lost Mark. There it is. Great Commission. It says, and these signs will follow. They're sending them out here now to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, some people have the understanding that's only for the apostles, for the disciples. I don't believe that. I believe that was for anybody. Anybody who comes to Jesus is enabled by the power of the risen Christ to do those things. You see, we don't know the power that's in us. We belittle the power that God has in us, but as I said earlier on, we don't have a baby Holy Spirit, we have the full Monty here operating in our hearts. It takes us to step out and to do it. You see, he didn't have anything, but he had the authority from Jesus to heal the sick. What I do have, he said, I give to you, and my word as I really wrap up this morning is, I want you to give away what you've got. And that's a big challenge. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what God has given you in your spirit. Challenge your church. It's time to give it away. It's time to impact people's lives. It's time to step out in faith in whatever little way you feel. You know, maybe you feel it's a little way, a little thing. But God is challenging us to move on, to go further than we've ever been before. And if you wanted to read in Acts 6 and Acts 8, talks about Stephen there. Stephen was an ordinary guy. You know, they wanted somebody, they wanted the widows and the orphans weren't being taken care of in the church, and they wanted somebody to do that. They wanted the apostles more time to go and teach and spread the gospel, so they appointed other men. And Stephen was just one of these guys in the, you know, he's a man full of faith and whatever and believing. You see, have we got the faith just to step out when God calls us and says, you know, I want you to do this? A challenge in your heart today. You know, maybe some of you here, you've got things in your heart that you've put aside and put aside and put aside. And God's saying, you know, are you ready? You know, I'm calling out men and women today. Are you ready to receive from me? Ordinary guy like Stephen, who was stoned to death, operated in the gift of faith, believing that Jesus, through him, could touch people, set them free. Set them free from sickness. Deliver them. And Acts 8:5, Philip, another guy, operating just in the faith and believing. Just ordinary people. You know, you say, well, I'm just me. You know, you are the righteousness of Christ. You are made righteous. The day you committed your life to Jesus, He made you right and able through His Holy Spirit to stand for Him, to reach out and touch other people's lives. You see, many people in the church haven't come to this place, you know, where we really expect something from God. It's plain faith, simple faith, just to believe that God will supply the need. You know, what do you need in your life right now? Have you got the simple faith to believe and stand? You know, maybe you've hit against things time and time again. You know, pick the ball up and run with it again. Don't let it be beaten. Took straightforward, simple fishermen, ordinary people, men and women, who birthed the New Testament church. They just trusted. They just stepped out in faith and believed that God could do anything. And we don't know why sometimes it doesn't happen. But it shouldn't let us stop. You know, keep keeping on. Bible says keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. Ordinary men, full of faith, gave away all that they had spiritually to touch the lives of many people. Peter said, what I do have I give to you. He gave the lame man power in the name of Jesus, but he could not give it unless he had it in his life. Church, we need the power of the risen Christ operating in our lives. I tell you what, you know, if every one of us here in this room was truly operating in the fullness of what God, this is not condemning, this is encouraging. If we were, all of us here today, were to take hold of this word and reach out and touch people with just simple faith, believing, I tell you what, this town would be turned upside down in a very short period of time. It would. I'm telling you now. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, if you don't know the Lord much, keep on pressing on. Get to know Him better. Trust Him in all sorts of situations. Test Him out sometimes. Say, Lord, like, you know, I've got nothing, but what can I do for this person? What can I do in this situation? Allow Him. Maybe you've got to make that first move. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. Maybe Jesus has walked this way before in your life, but maybe today is the time He's speaking to you. Maybe what I've said this morning has sparked off something in your heart. You know, come and talk to me afterwards. Let me pray with you. Don't leave here today with a burden, as I believe, you know, I want to operate while I'm preaching. You know, and if you want more boldness, come and see me. I want to pray for you. If you want to be set free from fear, from the chicken spirit that I used to walk around with, can you believe it? Yes. And sometimes even now the chicken spirit tries to get hold of me. But God knows better, and God knows me better than I know myself. And God, through me, can do all things. And if through you, He can do the same. You know, and there's lots of chicken spirits around in the church. Not just this church, but every church. God is calling the chicken spirits. He's saying, yeah, rise up, mighty eagles. Rise up and see how it really is. You're only seeing it from a chicken's point of view. A chicken, you see, only pecks at the ground. Chicken, I've seen one fly, actually, once or twice. But generally, chickens don't fly around very much. Yeah, and they only have a perspective of ground level. You know, once you soar like the eagle, you see things in a different light. You can see what's happening here in the spirit, what's happening there. And you can swoop in and touch a life because God is directing you through that thing. You know, it's time as a church we stop scratching around in the dirt and started reaching up on those wings like eagles and touch the lives of those who need to know Jesus. You see, this is the commission. It's not all about church and Wellspring Church. It's about a legacy. What legacy are we going to leave here? You know, we're going to leave a nice building, a nice piano, a nice worship, or we're going to leave lives touched with the power of the risen Christ. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. What is your testimony? What will you do with this message today? I challenge your heart. I challenge you, when God, through the Holy Spirit, prompts you, step out in faith. Put your foot in the Jordan. See what happens. I tell you what, you always do it more and more and more and more as confidence rises up. You know, faith, hope, what's the word? Strength will rise as we wait. Wait on the Lord. Know his strength. Strength will rise when we step out in faith. God bless you. Amen.